This is the Bates Bobcast, our weekly podcast about the week that was in Bates Athletics. My name is Aaron Morse, and this week we're talking about Bobcats rising to the challenge on and off the field. Men's lacrosse and softball compete in postseason games this Friday, and Bates Associate Director of Athletics Adrian Scheibels from the class of 1991 joins us to talk about the upcoming Friends of Bates Athletics Giving Challenge. That's coming up on the Bates Bobcast. The Bates men's lacrosse team learned on Sunday they've been selected to host the second and third rounds of the upcoming NCAA Division III Championship Tournament. The Bobcats take to Garcelon Field this Friday at 4 p.m., and with a victory, would also play a home game in the Sweet 16 Saturday at 7 p.m. Junior Teddy Rosen joins us as he is our male Bobcat of the Week thanks to his performance in the NESCAC semifinal against eventual conference champion Tufts, as he caused a career-high 8 turnovers in the game. Rosen talks about his rise to all NESCAC honors this year and the team's success overall.
My dad played in college. He played at Colorado College, and growing up, it was always something that he enjoyed doing, and he was my coach. So I played a bunch of sports growing up, football, basketball, baseball, like, you know, all the sports you play as a kid. But I always really gravitated towards lacrosse because my dad was my coach, and I thought it was fun to use that as a way to spend time with him. And honestly, didn't really like it for the longest time. I hated it, really.
Oh, really?
When I was a kid, yeah. I just did it because it was a way to be with my dad. And eventually, over time, I really fell in love with it. And still playing.
What changed your mind about it, I guess?
As you commit so much time and effort to something, like, you find the aspects of it that you love. And for me, I think it's a good outlet for being competitive. I love lacrosse, but I just love to compete. And lacrosse is always a way that I was able to compete. You know, I was better at lacrosse than I was at the other sports. So then, you know.
That helps,
I
right?
liked winning. So definitely gravitated towards it for that reason.
So when you were looking at colleges, what made Bates the place for you?
Well, we were part of Coach Nino's first recruiting class. And to be honest, I really didn't have any offers. I was really just very grateful to have a chance to play in college at that point in my career. I hadn't been super successful, to be honest. So Coach Nino gave me a chance. I think really it was to boost the team's GPA. So I was just really grateful to have a chance to continue to play the game. So
you were all academic last year.
Hopefully I can do both.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious. I mean, yeah, so you weren't really recruited by anyone else. You come here, you don't play at all your first year. And then last year you got some playing time and, you know, had a good season. And now this year you've been named all NESCAC. So tell me about your growth as a player. What has been the key to your success?
Well, freshman year I had a pretty serious back injury.
Okay.
So I was medically unable to play.
Gotcha.
And then taking that much time off, it's hard to just jump back into it. So I think last year I was kind of almost learning how to walk again, taking a year off and then adjusting to the college game. And then this year, like, I have a year under my belt in the system. I'm able to play a little bit more free. I'm an upperclassman. And it just, everything started to click and fall into place. And even just as the season's gone on, we've definitely finished stronger than we started. And that's, I think, in no small part due to our stellar coaching.
Have you always been a defender? Has that always been your position?
This is funny, actually. I told you I didn't like lacrosse. I didn't like getting hit. Okay. So I always wanted to play defense so I wouldn't have to get hit. So I've always been a defenseman. I never like getting checked.
So you get to be the one doing some hitting.
Yeah. It's not the most honorable reason to be a defenseman. I'm going to make sure that when my kids are playing lacrosse that they have a short stick in their hands, for sure.
You have a long pole, though?
Yes.
Yeah. With that long pole, I mean, tell me a little bit about, it's obviously very different, right? I mean, you've always been on defense, though, so is it second nature now to handle that long pole?
Yeah, it feels weird with a short stick in my hands, man.
Right.
I look weird holding it, too. It just feels unnatural. So sometimes I think about it, though. Like, what would it be like with a short stick? It's fun. Box lacrosse is played with short sticks, and I'll play that in the off season. So it's fun to get a short stick in my hands every once in a while, but I do miss the pole when I don't have it.
Well, you had 8 caused turnovers against Tufts the other day, a number one team in the NESCAC. They won the conference title. And tell me a little bit about how you're able to force all those turnovers against a really good Jumbos team.
Well, their style of play is really fast, mm-hmm. and really aggressive. And so they're constantly pushing. But what that means is they make a lot of mistakes. So we were just able to capitalize on a bunch of those, you know, me and my teammates. And I think just playing on the front foot, after our loss to Middlebury by one, coach made a point to say that take off the suppressor, like go out there and don't be afraid to make mistakes, fly around. And since that game, I think myself and my teammates have been playing a lot more free and causing a lot more turnovers.
We had the selection show watch party the other day. I know talking to some guys, you obviously knew you were in the tournament. You weren't sure if you were going to host, though, because, like, Bowdoin's in the same area, kind of. So what was your reaction you see Bates with that asterisk for host by their name, right?
I was pretty excited, especially for the seniors getting to play in Garcelon one more time. And that field's never been hosted before. There's never been a playoff game on that field.
The new turf.
Yeah, the new
turf. Right,
okay,
so yeah, fair enough.
Got to christen that.
Right.
I think also we're especially happy because we get to go Lewiston, and then when we make it out of the pod, we get to go Brunswick. Mm. So, I mean, the travel could not be better for us, like, super nice. It's a good weekend. Hopefully we get to see a lot of students and people showing out.
Yeah, you have the campus basically all yourself hosting these games. I mean, you know, and it's fun to host other teams too, like Hope and Ithaca are playing after you on Friday and stuff. I imagined get the W on Friday. Would you stick around to watch the next game, kind of scout, right?
I think after a little bit of celebration, we'd probably get out there for the second half. You know, you can't feel good for too long on Friday night because you got to go do it again on Saturday. So got to make sure that we're getting the scout in.
Yeah, I'm curious about that because the potential for back-to-back games, which is not something you normally do in the regular season, right? So that changes things a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, it gives you a lot less prep time for the second team.
Yeah.
So I think what we're going to emphasize is just being the best version of us. I know that we did schedule one Saturday-Sunday game earlier in the season.
Oh, okay.
Trinity-Wheaton.
Yeah.
For this reason specifically.
Yeah.
Right, is get ready for these playoff games because we're going to have to go back-to-back this weekend and then back-to-back next weekend as well.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, the team in general, obviously, you know, you as a junior, you've seen the growth each year, right? I mean, obviously, it's been outstanding. You mentioned the coaching. What about the coaching has helped you guys get to this point?
It's like a mastery of the X's and O's. I think our coaches do a tremendous job of teaching and understanding the game and giving it to us in a way that we don't just know what to do but why we're doing it. But I also think it's the continued support and real care that they show for us. I know that they're in our corner, and I think we can all feel comfortable relying on them. And we all feel very comfortable playing for each other.
It can be tempting to look ahead and see, oh, Bowdoin, Sweet 16, or Elite 8 if you reach Bowdoin. How do you guys maintain your focus and focus on getting two Ws this weekend, right? Because that Bowdoin does lurk there, don't they, a little bit?
Oh, certainly. I mean, we're all excited for that rematch.
Yeah.
No, it's hard. Yeah. It's hard, right? But can't get there if we're not aware of where our feet are. So, you know, it's not only being excited for that matchup in the future, but understanding that, you know, we have to get there and so do they. So there's a lot that's going to happen. Like last year, Dickinson made a crazy run to the national championship. Mm-hmm. No one expected that to happen. Mm. You can't overlook anyone. So we're going to take care of Cortland. Then we're going to take care of Ithaca or Hope. And then sights are going to be on Bowdoin.
I was going to say, like, because Coach Anino has experience, you know, in the postseason, whether it be as a player or as a coach as well. But no one on this Bates team does. What has been his message about how it changes in the postseason, or does it maybe not?
One thing we really talked about, especially kind of feeling it this past weekend at Bowdoin playing against Tufts, mm-hmm. that we just need to do a really good job of resetting ourselves, taking every play individually. You go down a couple goals, there's no three-point play, right?
Right.
So, you know, taking it one step at a time, you know, being very grounded where our feet are, and also just enjoying the moment, being there, being present. You know, it doesn't matter if there's some outside noise from the stands or from family or people traveling. Like, the job is the job. It doesn't change.
Excellent. Any other thoughts you wanted to share on the season so far, or on your career so far as a Bobcat we haven't got to talk about?
No, I mean, it's been a great time. I honestly couldn't have imagined a better trajectory for myself and for this team, and I'm really excited to see where we're going to continue to go, and I hope that, you know, this team leaves a legacy that we can all be proud of, and that takes place this weekend.
Absolutely. Friday, 4:00, the second round game. Bates plays the winner of the first round matchup, which takes place at a different site, but it'll either be SUNY Cortland or Western New England right here at Garcelon Field, 4 o'clock on Friday. Get the victory that day. Saturday, 7 o'clock against either Hope or Ithaca. Teddy Rosen is our male Bobcat of the week. He has caused 31 turnovers this year in 16 games, one of the top defensive players in the conference. And thanks so much for joining us on the podcast. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
The softball team went 3-1 last week, clinching the seventh seed in the upcoming NESCAC tournament. Junior pitcher Isabella Albro won both her starts, beating number 19 nationally ranked Colby on Wednesday, and following that up with a win over Trinity on Saturday as the Bobcats swept the Bantams in a doubleheader. And Isabella Albro is our female Bobcat of the week. Softball team came in last week with some must-win games, obviously. And for you, you pitched game two Wednesday against a nationally ranked Colby team, got the win, a 4-2 victory. Tell me a little bit about facing this Colby lineup. What was the key to your success in that game?
I just trusting my defense, as that's usually the game plan for me. I throw a lot of drop balls, as we talked about before. And I have an amazing infield and great outfield. So just trusting the defense is going to make the plays and get the outs.
And then another win, a 2-1 extra inning battle. This against Trinity, by far I saw the most pitches you've thrown. How are you feeling after that game?
Yeah, I feel great. It was fun. I actually had no idea that it was my highest number of pitches until I read it, and I was like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
So you weren't feeling it at all after the game?
No,
good?
Yeah.
8 innings there for the 2-1 win. What was the kind of the celebration like after that game? Because that win clinched a spot in the postseason, right?
Yeah, it was awesome. One of our teammates' dads takes pictures, and the pictures he got of us celebrating after the win are hilarious. We've just been clipping them this whole weekend. So excited. Just couldn't stop hugging Ella and Sophie. Yeah.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, for the team, obviously, a chance to, it's a new season, right? Starting Friday at Bowdoin against Middlebury, a team. During the regular season, it was a road game, two road games, pretty close games, right? What do you remember those games against Middlebury?
I remember Claire pitched amazing. It was a 1-0 game, and it was a walk-off. So I'm really excited to see how we do. I think it'll be an exciting start to start fresh from that sweep.
We talked off-air, but apparently you like pitching at Bowdoin. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes. Pitch.
What's that field like?
I like to think of that as our second home. We play a lot of games there, and I love pitching on that mound. I just have so much fun. And so, yeah, I'm really excited to get back there and pitch this weekend.
Tell me a little bit about, this team in terms of celebrating the seniors. What was that senior day celebration like?
So fun, but so sad. It really is bittersweet. The seniors are fantastic this year, and we're going to be really sad to see them gone.
Tell me a little bit about, maybe what leadership they kind of provide.
All of them provide leadership in different ways. I think, especially like in the infield, it's very like, it's a very calm and stable infield. We have three seniors in the infield. And so it just feels like when I'm out on the mound, I just know that they're there behind me and it feels great. And Delaney in the dugout has been an incredible support. So, yeah.
I was going to say, unfortunately, Delaney can't pitch because of an injury. Yeah. But, how has she been able to handle it? She's still obviously with it. And you all started her at second base.
Yeah.
Kind of ceremonial thing. What was that kind of like?
Just her support has meant everything. Yeah. And I know that it's probably been really tough, but she has been just great coming to every practice, every game with a smile on her face. And it's really great to see.
You went to the NESCAC quarterfinals last year and played Wesley and stuff. Yes. So what did you learn maybe that from that postseason experience last season?
I think, that was my first NESCAC freshman year. We didn't get to NESCAC, and it was just really fun to kind of like play with the best. It's just really exciting to get to go and compete, and I'm really excited about this year.
Yeah, because one site hosts all the games, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So all the teams kind of converge on one location. So.
And we get to be at Bowdoin this year, which is so exciting.
Yeah, an easy commute for the team,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, seriously. So, We've done it before, once or twice.
Right. Looking at the season as a whole, how would you say the team has kind of grown from maybe previous years? Because obviously this is the most wins for the team in quite some time here, 17 victories this season.
Yeah, I think we just keep getting better and better, and it's been really exciting to see the growth.
Well, any other thoughts you wanted to share on NESCAC coming up we haven't got to talk about?
Tune into the game on Friday at 4 p.m.
Excellent. Yeah, we'll have a lot of excitement going on because softball's at Bowdoin playing Middlebury Friday at 4. Same time men's lacrosse is playing here
in
the
NCAA
tournament. So both teams' postseason battles at the same time. So whatever game you end up going to, you can follow the other game on your phone, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So. Isabella Albro, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
The annual Friends of Bates Athletics Giving Challenge is upon us. It's set for this Thursday. And the goal this year is 1,500 donors. Associate Director of Athletics Adrian Scheibels from the class of 1991 tells us more.
Yeah, really exciting this year. It's a one-day challenge, yep. which is different. In the past, it's been 3 days, but all the research has shown that, you know, one day is really going to just center our donor base and get everyone excited. And, you know, Stacey Bunting, our new director of athletics, has brought a lot of experience to the table with regard to this challenge. And we're all really fired up for the one day. Yeah, there's lots of excitement and coincides with our men's lacrosse playoffs and hosting the NCAAs and a lot of Catsbys, a lot of exciting things.
I was going to say, like, men's lacrosse, the very next day after the challenge, hosting a game at 4 o'clock. I don't know who we're going to play yet, but it's going to be at Garcelon Field.
Yeah.
Second round of the NCAA tournament. And then hopefully they win that game and then play again on Saturday. So a huge week, as we mentioned. What have you kind of been, like, conversations with alums? How have that gone from your perspective? What are you hearing from them?
Yeah, there is a lot of excitement about Bates Athletics being on the rise. For those of us who are alum, we're deeply loyal to this place. And so, you know, a lot of us have given through the years, but there is an added element of excitement this year, just given the year that we're having, the groundbreaking ceremony that we just had for the new fitness center. There's just so many moments. And it's clear that we're all striving for excellence in the right way. You know, our tagline is rise to the challenge, and Bates Athletics is certainly on the rise.
Yes, speaking of rising to the challenge, I mean, there's a lot of individual challenges within different sports also that alums
yes.
can do.
Yes.
Tell us about that. If an alum is listening and they want to issue a challenge to their preferred sport, what can they do?
Go to our campaign page. If you just type into your browser, just FBA Challenge 2026, you'll come right to it. The goals are all listed there. And this year, our goals are really centered around participation. So we have a 1,500 goal for the department, but each sport has its own goal for participation. We're really trying to get more people involved on Thursday. So reach out to me. You
yep.
can also reach out to anyone on the advancement team, specifically Emily Levine, who oversees the annual giving within the advancement team. She's amazing, as is Adam Kane, who works on her team. Either one of them would be great as well. But you can certainly contact me. I will tell you that there is a deadline of noon on Wednesday.
Noon on Wednesday.
To add to the challenges that are currently on the board, we have a lot of great challenges. And in fact, you know, right now we stand at approximately 325,000. And I also know some other challenges that just have come in this morning. So number will rise. That is well over 80,000 more than what we raised for challenges for sports last year for each team. So every team has a challenge, which is exciting. That didn't happen last year. We are we're killing it so far, we haven't even gotten to Thursday. So it's exciting.
Yeah, certainly, it's a great way to multiply the dollars. Obviously,
yeah.
In terms of, I guess you mentioned Stacey coming in. What are some? The one day aspect is a big difference. Anything else that's kind of been tweaked this year?
Yeah. You know, we've done alumni captains in the past, but she's brought in some great ideas. We're doing something a little bit different with our alumni captains this year. We have parent captains, so we've initiated that. She and I have had meetings, Zooms with our social media coordinators. A lot of those are students, but some are assistant coaches or head coaches. So we're all on the same page with what our messaging is, with what our goals are. And so I think that that's been a huge step in the right direction.
Yeah, certainly. And then, I mean, you know, we've talked a lot about the momentum behind, you know, Bates Athletics. You're an alum yourself, obviously,
yeah.
class of 91. How have you seen things kind of, you know, we've obviously have more sports than we did when you went here, but what are some other things you've noticed, you know, through the years that, you know, how Bates has kind of evolved as an athletic department, if you will?
I mean, it's evolved in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
But I would start by saying, like, in the 3 years that I've been here in this capacity,
yeah.
it's been really, really amazing to see how the college's investment in athletics has made a huge difference. I mean, when I was coaching at another institution down the road and coming into alumni, you know, I was sort of like, well, you know, when is – What's happening with this building and some of the facilities? You know, we're looking a bit tired, and now we have new turf fields. We're getting a new fitness center, full-time assistant coaches. It's just been so rewarding to see these incredible changes in the last 3 years. And so I think you're seeing the results of that on the pitches, on the courts, on the, you know, the court, all of the spaces that our athletes compete on. Like, it's really translating. That commitment from the college, from our donors, it's really translating.
When people donate to Friends of Bates Athletics, they might ask, where is that money going? Like, what's kind of the main focus when you look at Friends of Bates Athletics? What are the goals? What are they trying to do to help out the programs?
Each program has specific priorities that they've established in consultation with Stacey Bunting that they're fundraising for. And so if you're unclear about that, you know, I would encourage donors, alum, parents to reach out to the head coaches of each program. But they have clearly established goals for their fundraising, each and every one of them.
The support, I mean, the current student athletes, I feel they feel it, don't they?
They do feel it. Yeah. I think it's really, really cool to look at these challenges, to look on the campaign page and see some of the names attached to some of these challenges. You know, I know for women's basketball, there's some real excitement from on behalf of both the women, the alum, and the parents. But for those student athletes to be able to look and say and see these names attached from some of the women that played back in my era, for example, you know, for the work that they did this season, that's cool. And I think student athletes in every program are feeling that when they look at that leaderboard. There's a real sense of pride, of connection with the people that came from before them.
Excellent. Well, any other thoughts you wanted to mention about the FBA challenge? Anything else people should know about that we haven't got to talk about?
Yeah, there's one thing I want to add. Yep. If you go to that campaign page, there's a place there where you can sign up to be an advocate. And so when you sign up, you get a link that's distinct to you. You can then share that on socials, share that via whatever, you know, tools of communication that you have. And everyone that gives through that link that you've promoted, you know, it's a sort of a fun way to compete with your alum friends or parent friends, you know, to say, I bet I can get, you know, more people to give to our program than you can. Or it's another way to give back in a really cool way. So I would encourage everyone to go to that landing page and sign up to be an advocate.
Yeah, it says become a Bobcat superfan, get involved at the top. You click on it, it'll take you to the bottom where there's different ways you become an advocate and be recognized for your impact. Via social media is obviously effective. There's different buttons there you can see.
Yeah.
And offer your challenge
gift.
Look
at that list right there. Pretty fantastic.
Yeah, we already have a bunch of advocates listed there already, as you mentioned. So excellent. All right. Well, Adrian, thank you so much for joining us on the Bobcast. And again, folks, FBA Giving Challenge is this Thursday, one-day event this year. Our goal is 1,500 donors, and we're already making good progress.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Adrian Scheibels, thanks so much.
Thank you, Aaron.
In addition to softball and men's lacrosse, the track and field and rowing teams are in action as well this weekend. Bates Rowing competes Sunday for the NESCAC Championship on Lake Quinsigamond. Check out GoBatesBobcats.com for all the latest Bates Athletics news, and we'll catch you next time on the Bates Bobcast. We'll be right back.